You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
They call it running a business for a reason. Because your day can get away from you fast. It takes a lot of work to make it all work. But with Clover, doing business feels like a walk in the park. Take appointments, do inventory, manage staff. With the right business tools, everything moves in sync and nothing can slow you down. Clover, accept payments, run your business, and sell more. For a limited time only, visit clover.com/Pandora and get a $450 statement credit on qualified hardware purchases. That's www.clover.com/Pandora.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
All right, I guess we'll just talk about the stupid hockey teams.
Come on, it's the Risto reunion. It's so it's gonna be such a hilarious game.
God. Welcome to checking out the competition, Buffalo Sabres. I am joined by Joe Yerden, who is the best Buffalo Sabres person on the face of the planet. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Kelly. I'm freezing, but you know, it's Buffalo, so like, what do you expect? It's the middle of January in Buffalo. Of course it's freezing cold. Like, but I mean, aside from that, the hockey's hot. No, that's not hot.
Hey-o.
I don't really know what's keeping me warm these days. I guess it's just being inside constantly. So that's good. It's bad. Well, never mind. We both have hockey fun. Going on.
Yeah, this is going to be a great and thoroughly enjoyable hockey podcast for everyone else.
Oh, man.
Chilly too, but at least you have snow. It's just cold here.
We had like 2 feet of snow at one time.
I know, it's lovely.
I don't think you want that. Don't want that there. Like, you don't want 2 feet of snow in Philly.
No, I do.
No, stop. You do not want that much snow. At one time, the city would be crippled for a month.
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
So you're extremely anarchistic. Yes, that's the word.
I mean, you know, obviously.
Well, you're a Flyers fan. Of course you're anarchistic. Like, you know, everything computes.
You know, the universe centers on me, for me.
Well, I would hope so.
Like, that's the way it's supposed to go. And right. I can work from home and I really enjoy the snow and like, I don't really need any food right now. So if it were to dump 2 feet of snow right this second, I'd be pretty pumped about it.
Well, I guess when you put it that way, I get it.
I like playing in the snow.
I'm sorry, what?
I like playing in the snow like a child.
Oh, well, I get that.
You need more snow-related joy in your life, Joe.
Listen, my joy this week has been digging my car out of the street. Like, digging a trench around my car so it would be easier to move it, like, 2 days later. So that way I wasn't digging it all out when it was melting and weighed 10,000 pounds. So,
yeah, that part's not fun.
of course, it, you know, I mean, it melted a little bit that day, and then now it's frozen in place. Like there, like we actually, finally, like many days later, we had, you know, snow removal people go by yesterday, and all I could hear was kr-r-r-r-r. And I'm like, yeah, well, you could have got this when it was soft instead of frozen to the ground. But no, it's too difficult.
I did actually see a lot of, I'm assuming it was from you, because you
probably
the only.
I was very bitchy about it.
I did kind of see that they kind of fucked up the snow removal, which is surprising to me. My uncle lived in Buffalo. And I like the vibe that I always got was like, yeah, it snows a lot here, but we just deal with it really well. So it's not really a big deal. Like nothing really shuts down because we get snow all the time. We know what we're doing, but it kind of looked like they didn't.
Well, it does snow a lot and we do deal with it, but the wrong people deal with it the most, i.e. us, you know, the city and decides like, nah, we don't need to do anything. Well, let's wait for it to melt a little bit. Then we'll, you know, maybe then we'll get after it. But people don't want to hear about the civic problems of Buffalo, though. Maybe that's more entertaining than hockey at this time. Right. maybe that's more enjoyable, more cathartic. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm supposed to talk to you about hockey eventually. So this is the first Flyers Buffalo game of the season, which is weird to me. But then I remember that it's actually only halfway through the season, which feels impossible. Time remains not real. But we haven't seen the Sabres yet, which means that Rasmus Ristolainen is going to get his triumphant return to Buffalo. Do you think that the tribute video will be plus or minus 10 minutes long?
I'm hoping for a half hour Montreal Canadiens pregame ceremony.
Yes.
Myself, I think that would be the most appropriate thing to honor.
Yes.
A franchise legend as Rasmus is. I do hope there's at least a video. I hope it's not just like them cutting to him sitting on the bench and being like, we want to welcome back Rasmus Ristolainen. And then like have him just like wave to people, like the 8,000 people that'll be there, maybe. Like, I don't know.
That's the fourth liner treatment.
I
feel like your number one defenseman for nearly a decade gets a video.
It was a bad decade. It's a really bad. highlights.
How many hits they're going to get to put in the video?
Well, there's plenty of hits, and then there's plenty of silly goal celebrations, which I love. Mm. Like, that's my favorite, one of my favorite things. There's a lot I like about Risto. Like, we bust his chops about, you know, how it's not been great, and, you know, how the team, according to the numbers, which are always correct, of course. I'm not saying that sarcastically. We've already been down this road. The numbers are always right. But he wasn't very good at all. So I could take joy in so much of everything else about him. I mean, he was a constant, you know, lightning rod for, you know, discussions of, is he good or is he not good? And people who watch the game were like, well, he hits hard and, you know, he gets points in the power play and he does really good. See? And then the numbers people are like, no, the team is literally worse every minute he's on the ice. And they're like, well, how can you tell? It's like, well, yeah, fair point. But like, but at the same time, it's like, you can actually figure these things out to a degree, but yeah, it's, but there's so much about him that I really enjoy. I kind of enjoy that he was really aloof here, or he was just like purposefully aloof. I can appreciate that. Like, he was always first guy, like after they get off the ice, he was first guy out of the building. He was just like, nope, see ya, peace. Going home. Like, okay, well, I get that.
I like that a lot. I don't like to hang around at work after my shift is over.
Exactly. But like, if we needed to talk to him, we had to like request it before practice started, just so it was just like, okay, we can make sure we get him. So he doesn't like running out the door, bye, see ya. Like, I mean, he's not like other former Sabres who would roll in just before things would start and then be the first guy out of there afterwards, which, again, I can kind of respect, but I also understand that, you know, being a professional athlete's a little different, I guess. But with like Risto, he's just a funny dude. He's just a really funny guy. Like, he's a huge NBA fan, which I don't think anybody would have ever known ever. Like, they just wouldn't suspect it. Which, I mean, that's fair. He's, you know, big dude from Finland. There's there's only one Finnish NBA player, Lauri Markkanen. I don't even know if he's still in the NBA, so whatever. But like, he's like a huge NBA guy, which I was hoping he would exploit greatly with the Sixers, but I guess the Sixers have got their own issues too. But at least drama, anyways. I don't know. Ben Simmons is still a Sixer, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm kind of assuming that Ristolainen is not allowed to have any show of public fun that Flyers fans generally would eviscerate him if he were to be seen enjoying his life outside of hockey. Because when the team is bad, obviously, all players must live in misery until they write themselves on the ice. Otherwise, they don't care. It's I don't true. Know if that's a narrative that's ever happened for you in Buffalo, but we get that a lot.
I don't know if you've ever heard, but the nightlife in Buffalo, not really a big scene. It's a pointed complaint by 98% of the players in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a thing you had to worry about. It was a thing we heard about with Evander Kane, because he somehow found the places that were cool to go with. But I mean, I don't know. It's
the nightlife you're looking for. If you want to have like a couple of beers with your buds, Buffalo is a good place.
Oh yeah. Like if you like sports bars and you like, you know, clubs that are trying really hard to be clubs, then yeah, Buffalo's great.
I was going to say, like, if you're looking for like a club with bottle service and a lot of like super hot models, like maybe Buffalo is not the place.
Not thinking it is. I don't want to, I'm not going to completely take a dump on the scene because it ain't my scene. I don't know if that's a big surprise, but hitting the nightclub scene, not my thing.
I for one am shocked to hear this, but
if I was ever at a place with bottle service, I would be like, what, how did I end up here? Like, who took me here? Like, this is wrong.
I would imagine that I would have to wake up in a place like that, like from some kind of the chemical induced sleep, in order for me to even get to this place. Like, I would have had to have been taken.
Like, are we talking like formaldehyde?
Yeah.
You know, over the face, dragged there, and then been like, yeah, here, you're in a club. Like, what? No, this is hell.
The only way it would happen, because I would not willingly walk through the doors. So
you'd have to be literally dragged in, unconscious. You'd have to be
literally taken there. So Rasmus Ristolainen. The thing that's really annoying, Joe, is that he has not even been as bad as I expected him to be here.
That's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing, but it's just like, if we were having this conversation in October, and I was imagining a scenario in which Rasmus Ristolainen was like a serviceable second pair defenseman on the Flyers. In that reality, the Flyers then are a good hockey team. Because if that's happening, like, surely other things must be good, because Rasmus Ristolainen, despite arguments to the contrary from literally half of the fan base for some reason, is not good and has never been good. And if he's like not awful, in my head it meant that like everything else must also be good. Lifting, what did they say? The tide lifts all boats or whatever the hell. So the
rising tide lifts all boats.
That's the one. That's yes. The one. So if Risto had been lifted, surely he was being lifted by an extremely good Flyers hockey team. And yet here we are. Pretty wild.
I think that's something that's kind of followed Ristolainen around. And it's not his own doing, mind you, but that's something that's followed him around, where it's like, wow, hey, you know, this there's no way that the worst thing could happen. There's no way. Like, there's two possibilities. Either like this is a really good thing, or this gets way worse. And you never think the way worse thing is possible, and you're always proven. Well, at least in Buffalo, you're always proven wrong.
It's like that here now too.
Because, like, I'm thinking back to like the tank years, and people are just like, well, you know, this sucks, but at least it's for a good thing. And then, you know, two coaches later, it's like, well, it can't get any worse. And then, you know, Ralph Kruger rolls into town and starts ruining everybody. And then they're like, oh God, it can get worse. Yeah, it can always get worse. So every year I will catch somebody on Twitter telling me, well, it can't get any worse. And I go, can it? Have you seen it get better? Like, tell me when there's been an active improvement with all of the, with this entire situation.
I think Charlie actually tweeted today that, like, at the end of last season, the general consensus was like, okay, that was hideously bad. Everything that went, everything that could go wrong for the Flyers went wrong. Surely this season will be better simply because it can't, like, that can't happen again. Everything can't go wrong again. And yes, it can.
Yeah.
Sure it can. It can happen over and over and over again.
The only thing that changes are the reasons. Like, it can be as bad. It can be worse. But, like, there are different reasons why.
Yeah.
You know, like, last year it was, you know, Carter Hart was just, like, in the world's worst funk. And you're like, okay, well, I can get that. You know, you kind of ignore the other problems that are there because you're just like, well, what are you going to do? The goalie can't stop anything. You know, You ignore everything else, which is kind of what happens in Buffalo now because they're down to their fifth goalie in their lineup. So, you know, that's what will happen. But Sabres fans have gotten wise to that now. They're like, yeah, the goaltending stinks, but these other guys also really stink. Whereas before you could just be like, well, you know, hey, what are you going to do? And I think in Philly's case, they thought, well, you know, Ristolainen is the exact kind of guy we wanted here, you know, forever, you know, big dude hits, you know, he can do some stuff like, hey, cool, this is great. But then you ignore Ivan Provorov, who is kind of the left-handed version of Ristolainen at this point, which is really a huge bummer because I do like Provorov. And if he's right-handed, then I screwed that up.
No, he is left-handed, but also I hadn't, like, framed it in my mind that way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now
you've done it. It's very depressing because it's kind of accurate, at least this season.
Yeah. I mean, which drives me nuts because I like Provorov quite a bit. And I dig when he does a lot of cool stuff, but, like, I'm not watching the Flyers enough to know how often he's not doing cool stuff. So I don't know for sure what the deal is with him. I just know that anytime I see anybody talking about him on the part of Flyers Twitter that I follow, it's not generally very positive.
Yeah, the thing that we've, I think, learned about Ivan Provorov is that, so we thought we had a 1A, like a number one defenseman. We do not have that. You could argue he is a two. However, given that, I feel like if you have a, in my mind, if you're a good number two defenseman, if the one goes out, you can still carry that top pair and it's going to be effective. It's not going to be as good, but it'll still be effective. Mm-hmm. I think Ivan Provorov might be like a really strong three because he can't seem to carry a top pair on his own. He needs a good defenseman next to him to carry the pair. So unfortunately, I'm not even sure that, like, on a cup winning team, I'm not sure Ivan Provorov is a top pair defenseman, which is a very depressing reality to settle into, but here we are.
Have the Flyers rescued Ryan Ellis from the Phantom Zone yet, or is he still gone?
So if you can provide me with tangible proof that Ryan Ellis exists, I am not sure he's a real person. I'm not sure that he exists outside of the Matrix. I don't know if he's ever been in the city of Philadelphia ever in his life. I think that might have been, we might have, like, Mandela affected ourselves into believing that we traded for Ryan Ellis, but it didn't actually happen in this timeline. So yeah, there's no Ryan Ellis. He's not a thing.
Because it's weird because the Sabres were playing Nashville last week and I definitely saw Phil Myers and I go, oh, right, they have him now. I was like, what happened to him in Philly? I was like, oh, right.
Right.
There was that trade for that guy that played, what, one game for the Flyers this year, if any? I'm not even sure. One whole game. My goodness.
Entire game. So I guess maybe I'm supposed to look at that hockey game, which I was not physically present for. And that is supposed to be proof to me that Ryan Ellis exists, but I simply don't believe it.
It seems like a deep fake kind of thing. Like, they just found, you know, some other guy with, like, a red beard and they were like, let's just put his head in there. Why does that guy look like Scott Hartnell with a beard now? That beard looks like it's drawn on. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on here. Why is this number 43? What is going on here? I don't understand.
I live in the hipster center of the city of Philadelphia, and I'll tell you what, long orange beards are a dime a dozen. You can find any guy, put some skates on him, and then deep fake Ryan Ellis's face onto him for one hockey game. And all of a sudden now you've completely scammed this entire city of Philadelphia.
See, I knew this deepfake technology was gonna go sideways at some point. I didn't expect that it would be professional sports doing it.
So you already brought up the goaltending, which is a thing that I was going to get to with you, because doing my very extensive preparation for this podcast, which involved pulling up the Buffalo Sabres stats page on NHL.com, I noticed that there are 6 goaltenders listed for the Sabres. Mm-hmm. Who is the Sabres goaltender?
Currently, it's Aaron Dell. He is their current number one goalie, which if you look at his stats, you might understand why their record is what it is.
Yeah, 893. Not great.
He's been good since he's come back up. Because he was sent to Rochester. Oh my God, I'm just looking at the injury list on Hockey Reference right now. There's 11 guys on the Sabres list now, which is amazing. And that's not counting Jack Quinn, who just went on it today. So that's great.
I'm pulling that up too. I muted myself so you wouldn't hear me typing. I just read an article about Jack Quinn on the Die by the Blade website. Didn't he just played in Dallas and had a very good game, and now he's hurt?
Yeah, he played a week or two ago against Tampa. Then he played Thursday night against Dallas, and he got his first NHL goal, looked really good, and then he sort of disappeared. Like, I was kind of like, what happened there? Like, okay. Like, they, you know, things got ugly at the end of the game, so there were much more distracting things to wonder about. But yeah, he apparently got hurt, and now they got to further check him out, and it's what led me to believe now that they have to raise KeyBank Center and just scorch the earth, burn the ashes, and just build anywhere, literally anywhere else in the city. And just be like, you know what? It's fine. Fine. Let's just be done with this place because it's obviously very haunted ground.
That, it might be a good idea. do you guys have anybody on the COVID list right now? I see Dustin Tokarski is listed as health protocols.
Yes, he's been there for about a month.
Oh.
Yes, he's had a very difficult time with COVID. I mean, obviously he was vaccinated.
Yeah.
But he got a case of it, and it's kept him off the ice for almost a month now.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, like he's practicing again, and he's getting back up to speed, and you know, kind of getting his endurance back a little bit, because, I mean, that's really bad. Yeah, it was December 2nd he went in COVID protocol, and it's 6 weeks later. I was wrong. 6-7 weeks later now he's still in COVID protocol, and it's weird, but like he's at least skating now, so that's good. Craig Anderson's skated for real today, so that was a pleasant surprise. He's one of the Magic 6 goalies. Tokarski's got the most starts, but that's because Anderson got hurt 6 games into the season out west, and then Tokarski was his backup. So then Tokarski took over. Then Tokarski got COVID, so they called up Luukkonen, Luukkonen and Dell were the pairing. So Dell got a bunch of starts. Then Dell was bad. So then they traded for Malcolm Subban.
Yeah.
And then Subban and Luukkonen were the tandem. And Luukkonen hurt his lower body somehow. And then Subban got landed on by Pat Maroon against Tampa a week ago. And now he might be done for the season. With some kind of upper body thing. It's like a shoulder or arm injury. And then so they had to sign and call up Michael Hauser, who was one of their goalies last season when they had a separate goalie apocalypse. And Hauser got a win the other night against – who did he beat? I'm forget. Everything is a blur now. It's just – everything is a bad, ugly blur as far as this goes. But, yeah, it's – Yeah, so like the goalies as it stands right now, are Dell and Hauser. That's the 1-2 punch as far as that goes. But Hauser played one really good game, which is cool. Aaron Dell's played a handful of decent games lately, which is better than before, where he was giving up, you know, 5-6 goals a game and, you know, making everybody feel like, wow, we got to actually trade for a guy because this guy's not getting it done. Okay, cool. But yeah, it's something else. It's really stunning how it's like two straight years of you know, goalies just exploding and pieces being scattered everywhere. But this year, at least, there's the added touch of COVID absences and everybody else getting injured simultaneously. So it's really cool. It's extremely cool.
It has some very, I think it was 2018 or 2019 Flyers vibes, where we iced like 9 goaltenders, I think, over the course of the season. So you guys are getting there.
That's you know, the Sabres have had this thing happen to them before. Now, granted, in those years, it was because they were either, well, they were definitely trying to lose, but they also had, you know, injuries. But then they also, there was the 14-15 season where if you were a goalie and you started doing very well, you got traded immediately. Because they're like, listen, you're playing way too good for this team that's supposed to be awful. Get out of here. Like Jonas Enroth getting traded to Dallas for Anders Lindback. Lindback's save percentage at the time was like 890 something. Enroth was doing fine, but he was doing too well for what they were aiming for. Then they bring in Lindback, and Lindback was lights out as soon as he came in. He was like playing his ass off, and he looked great. And then suddenly it was just like, what are we gonna do? This stinks.
So how's life post Jack Eichel for the Sabres?
You know what? That Band-Aid needed to get pulled off so long before it was. Like, they just needed to get that trade done months before it happened. Like, it got way too ugly, way too nasty with, not even with Jack and the team, because, you know, after the stories came out afterwards, you know, Jack had asked for a trade a year before that. And which led the team to decide, oh crap, we have to try to keep Jack here, so let's go sign Taylor Hall, which backfired. You know, Jack gets injured, he's out, then Taylor Hall's just kind of like, what am I doing here? This sucks. Like, please trade me. So, you know, like all of, like, just everything that they tried to do to try to convince Jack, like, no, man, we're really serious, we mean it, we're gonna win, failed. Like, it all failed so bad. And then, you know, the whole thing with the neck injury and them just being like, no, we're not, we don't want you to do that. We don't care that this is what you want to do. Our doctors disagree. Okay. I mean, that's the doctor's perspective, but then you get Robin Leonard coming out of the woodwork to be like, yeah, no, their doctors suck. They led me to get injured more. It was like, oh, oops. Jack, what do you think about that, Jack? And Jack's like, I got nothing to say. Like, okay. All right. But you saying nothing basically means you kind of agree. You could have been like, no, those guys do really good work and that's fine. Yeah. But considering you were saying, no, man, this operation I want, you're not letting me get, so you guys are full of it. But yeah, like that. And the trade that happened was like one that had been semi-rumored for a few months. And the fact that it took as long as it did, it was just like, guys, like, Jesus, you could have done this trade 3 months before. Like, in, you know, that way Eichel would have been able to play more of the season, which, you know, maybe the Sabres are thinking like, yeah, we'll keep this guy off the ice. But, you know, joke's on them, because he might be back in the Vegas lineup when the Sabres get to play them twice in a month. So,
oh boy,
that'll be hilarious. That will be, I don't do gambling, like sports gambling at all, but I can't wait to see the odds on Eichel scoring a goal against Buffalo in either of those games, because if they result in making money, I am in, baby.
Yeah, it seems like you might even go like hat trick in one of those games.
I'm expecting an Ovech trick, honestly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, hey, Timo Meier just went for 5 the other day. So, like, hey, Eichel getting 9 against the Sabres if they're icing, you know, ECHL goaltenders, very likely.
That was fun. I saw someone when what's his face, Meier scored those 5 goals. I think the Flyers as a team had scored 5 goals in their like previous week of games, which was just like good times.
That's always helpful.
It must be so fun having good hockey players on your team.
I guess. I don't know. There were good players here in Buffalo. It's just, you know.
You did awesome.
They did extremely well. Everybody else failed them around them. Management, ownership.
Yeah.
Some of the media really hated those guys, so that didn't help things. Not me. I wouldn't be subspeaking myself and saying that. Listen, if a guy doesn't give me a great quote, I'm not gonna call him pissy or, you know, bitch at him. Like, I'm just not gonna do that. I'm just gonna be like, all right, man, like, cool. I'll wait a couple weeks before talking to you again. Like, that's fine.
Wow, what a crazy idea, being professional at your job. So speaking of good players, who is playing well for the Sabres right now?
Ones that are healthy?
Yeah, let's go with those.
Okay. Well, Tage Thompson's been outstanding all season. He's been the most stunning revelation for them. Because he had been not scoring very well since they had acquired him in the O'Reilly deal, which the graveyard of bad trades for the Sabres. But like his previous career high in points had been 14, and that was last year. And he's already flown past that. He flew past that a few weeks ago. He's already every goal he scores is a new career high for him. And he's playing center, which is a position he hasn't played since high school, maybe college. It's been a long time, but Granato wanted to give him a shot at it because honestly, they were desperate. They were looking at what Mittelstadt and Eakin and Cousins as like their 1-2-3 up the middle with Jack out, obviously, Jack gone. Like, they didn't have a whole lot to deal with. Like, they were kind of auditioning guys for the third and fourth line center spots. Like, Zemgus Girgensons hadn't played center since like 2015. And they're like, hey man, why don't you give it a shot? they were trying anything they could to kind of fill the void, and Tage took to it right away. Cause as it turns out, everybody who had been coaching him up until now was trying to make him into a power forward because, let's face it, he's 6'7". He's a huge dude. He's got a huge reach, big body. But he's 6'7", 220, so he's kind of skinny. Like, he's still strong, don't get me wrong, but like, he's not built like Ovi. He's not built like, Pat Maroon. Well, Pat Maroon, I'm more built like him, but guys that are like traditional power forward size, like, he's not built that way. But he grew up as like a smaller dude. Like, he had a growth spurt kind of late. So he developed like all of his like puck handling skills and stick handling and stuff where he's really slick. He's really good with that stuff. But like, he had all these skills, but people were just like, no, you got to drive the net. You got to throw guys around. And he's just like, dude, I can't keep weight on. I'm trying to gain weight, which I was just like, you bastard. I wish I had that problem. Like, just please. So, people kept trying to make him something that he wasn't. His mind wasn't set to do that. And he wasn't actually built to do that. Even though he's got the frame for it, he wasn't meant to do that. So instead they put him at center, and it turns out he's a really good center because it keeps him in the action more. He's very good at being able to distribute the puck, and he's not terrible on faceoffs either. Like, I know faceoffs don't really matter, but I mean, they do, every one out of every five seems to matter, but he hasn't been awful at it. So, it's really worked out well for him, that he's been so good. Alex Tuch, one of the guys they got in the Eichel deal, has been great. He's the power forward that I think everybody wanted Tage Thompson to be, but Tuch is that guy. Like, he's a bigger dude. He's very active. He's a good skater. He's really good at forechecking. He PKs. He's on their top line. Like, he's been really solid. It's very early for him here now still, but like, he's been great. He's been absolutely super. And let me see. Skinner's having a bounce back year, which is nice. Like, he's scoring goals again, which is cool. Like, that's, playing him with guys that can help him score was a mind bending, you know, change of pace from what they had been doing the last 3 years, playing him on the third line or fourth line or not playing him at all. Like, it's weird. He's making $9 million a year. When you want to put him with people who can help him score, they're like, nah, he can play with Vladimir Sobotka. Like, oh, okay.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's cool. Where is he playing now? Oh, right. He's back in the Czech Republic after they just like let him go. They were just like, yeah, bye. See ya. No more. But yeah, it's yeah, like those guys are playing really well. Dahlin's putting up a ton of points. Some people are starting to get Risto about him, though, because they think his defensive work is very poor. Now, he's been very good since the beginning of December. There are still some of those defensive bumps, but listen, Ralph Kruger spent the last 2 years trying to make him into like Jeff Bookaboom or, you know, like somebody who can just defend and threw the shackles on him offensively, which, you know, again, a lot of people in the Sabre circles are like, well, you can't blame Kruger anymore. I go, can't you? Like, the guy was 19 and 20 when he's being told, like, no, don't do everything that made you really good. Like, I don't know. Like, that would stick in my mind for a long time at that age. Like, people that told me stuff when I was that young that, like, they were critical of me of, I am still scarred from that stuff. Are you kidding me? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, anybody in a position of authority that tells you, like, no, what you're doing is wrong, it's going to be in your head constantly. But, like, the way Dahlin played against Dallas on Thursday, holy crap. Like, that's the number one pick in the draft that played that game. Like, he scored the first goal of the game, and he just, like, he gave, like, a little shoulder shake and was right around a Dallas defender. Then he came in and he deked around. He made Miro Heiskanen look a little tough on that play too, which, you know, that's the guy everybody's like, well, you know, Heiskanen's the better guy now. And it's like, okay. You know, of course, nobody, you know, Cale Makar's the guy now, but, you know, Heiskanen and Dahlin were, you know, virtually the same age. So it's like that. But yeah, like Dahlin, yeah, but like you can find a lot of debate about Dahlin. Half the people are ready to move on from him, and half are just like, no, give him time, which unfortunately is kind of that Risto territory. And as far as discussions go, I don't necessarily think they're the same player, but there are metrics that you can find that compare them a little bit too similarly, which is frightening to say the least. So yeah, like there's, you know, the younger guys that are in their lineup are the ones to watch. And those are honestly the ones that anybody should really care about. Like, just as long as they're playing well and developing correctly and doing things the right way, that's what to watch. Like, don't really get hung up on the wins and losses. I mean, you know, it's hard not to, because if you're watching the games, then it's kind of like, you'd like to see them win, but if they lose because, like, well, for example, they lose the Dallas game because Cody Eakin takes an awful penalty, an awful and lazy penalty, then which they scored on the power play and took the lead. Like, okay, like, you lose that game because some guy that's not going to be there by the end of the season did something dumb. Like, okay, that sucks, but also it doesn't affect the young guys, because the young guys all play great. You know, Cousins had an amazing goal. Quinn gets a goal. Dahlin has the 3 points and an amazing goal. Like, cool. Those are the goods to take away from games this year. It's, you know, if, like, you know, under, you know, if Vinny Hinostroza does something that, you know, costs him a game, like, oh, bummer. You know, if, you know, anybody who's not going to be on this team next year does something to ruin a game for him, like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Suck it up and deal.
How's Bobby Hague looking for you guys? I'm sure people are curious.
You know what? He's been really surprising. I think when he was part of that deal, I think everybody kind of thought he was going to be the number seven defenseman, like, kind of in and out of the lineup.
Okay.
But he really established himself by being really solid defensively. And when he was paired up with Mark Pesek, like, that was their strongest defensive pairing at the start of the year. Like, they were both, you know, Hague was playing really well. Pesek was playing excellent. You know, it was surprising. You know, like, I don't know that there were a lot of expectations on Robert Hague, because, you know, listen, he was a contract to move in the Risto deal. Like, I get it.
Right.
But he's perfectly serviceable veteran. Like, that's all you can ask for. Honestly, that's exactly what they need. They probably could use another guy like that, at least to kind of steady things now. But to have him in there, like, when he was out recently, he missed a few games with an injury. They did not defend very well at all. Like, they looked, it was a little bit uglier back there with other guys taking up that, taking up those minutes where he was, you know, where he was getting defensive time. So that was tougher, but when, you know, since he's been back, it's been a little bit better. I mean, it's tough to say it's that much better when they're giving up 45 shots a game. And their penalty killing went 1 for 5 against Dallas. Like it's not what you want. Like that's not great, but he's been fine. Like if somebody's complained about the Sabres was how Robert Hague was playing, I would hope that would mean that they've lost 3 games all season and that, you know, they were just finding a way to nitpick things because of the things you can get mad about in this team. I don't even know he would crack the top 25 reasons why.
Yeah. So what are the Sabres doing? Like, is this team rebuilding? Are they like rebuilding on the fly? Are they back to tanking? Like, because I can't really tell from the outside based on the moves that they're making. Like, where are they going from here?
This is a rebuild. It looks like it's kind of on the fly because there's a lot of young guys in the lineup that they're very high on.
Right.
But it's extremely a rebuild. Like you don't move Ristolainen and Reinhardt and Eichel in one off season and think that you're going to be trying to make a run at a playoff spot. Like that just ain't happening. Like that's not the way things work. Especially in Buffalo, and you know the goaltending. Like you know, listen, they signed Aaron Dell and Craig Anderson like at you know 9 o'clock at night, the day of you know the first day of free agency opening. Like, because it's my gut feeling that they thought they had a deal done with Ullmark to bring him back, and then Boston gave him another year, so he's like, all right, bye, see ya. And then they were just kind of like, oh crap, we don't have anybody else in mind. Okay, well. Who's available? let's find, here's some guys that have played in the NHL. Let's get them. Like, cool. Done. So I mean, you know, but like you don't roll into a season with Craig Anderson and you know, Dustin Tokarski and Aaron Dell and think, yeah, we can make a run to the playoffs. This seems good. Like that's just like, you know, Craig Anderson was, you know, this close to retiring after last season when he was the number three for Washington. And he was like, even then he was like an emergency signing after Lundqvist wasn't able to go. So it was like, you know, he's, and like Anderson's always been really good. He's always been a really good goalie, but like, you know, he's 40 now. So I don't know. You're not really expecting him to play 60 games for you. So yeah, it's tough because it is a rebuild, but also you're getting so many of these guys learning experience at the NHL level. And they're going to take a lot of lumps for that. But it's good to have a guy like Don Granato running the team because he's an upbeat dude. He's a very solid coach, like coaching guys to be better. And he's a, you know, he's just him being a more positive guy and not like not a tear you up and down passive aggressive kind of coach.
Yeah.
Or directly aggressive as it may be. Like that's not how he does things. Like, I mean, he's super nice, but like if you start screwing up, like he's going to let you know about it. Like he's not a pushover coach, but I like a lot of what he's doing. It's very tough to be hypercritical though, because again, half of this team are guys that aren't going to be around next season or the season after that. Maybe like, you know, as long as the guys that you want to see get improvement and get better, that you know are going to be are part of your long-term outlook, then that's what I take away from. I think that's how you judge how Don Granato is doing. Like if you see like Darlene's, you know, kind of getting back to normal, you see Dylan Cousins improving, you see, you know, Jack Quinn, if he, you know, injury aside, like if he comes up and he sticks around and he plays so much better, then okay, that's good. Matias Samuelson, Giselle Samuelson's son, is now up with the team, and like he's been outstanding. He would have made the team out of camp if he didn't get hurt in a scrimmage. But he's up now, and like he shouldn't go back down. Like he's an NHL player. But as long as you see him continue to improve, because his improvement's been amazing the last couple of years. But like as long as you see guys like that getting better, then I think everything else is a wash.
So one thing I've been trying to do since the Flyers have turned to garbage in these little pregames is try to find like a comparable game recently on a team schedule. Like I was talking to someone about the Canes, and I was trying to find a game, you know, where a bad team beat the Canes to kind of, you know, just kind of talk about like how can the Flyers go about doing this? Like, how did the Ottawa Senators beat the Canes? That shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. What happened in that game to make it happen? And so I'm looking at Buffalo's schedule and I can't really find a game in which a really bad team beat Buffalo. It seems like Buffalo's beating the teams that are worse than them. Like they beat Montreal, they beat the Senators. Yeah, so I can't even find a comparison to force you to talk about. So like if the Flyers were to beat the Sabres, and I'm not sure how much you've been keeping up with the current Flyers, but it's like, it's real bad. Like it's remarkable to me that there are, I think, four teams below them in the standings right now. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how it's going to be worse than them. So if a team, like let's say a team like Montreal, where nothing is clicking, nothing is going right, they can't buy a win. How would a team like that go about beating the Sabres? Like, I guess goaltending is a weak point. Defense is probably a little bit of a weak point. But where do you find a win when you're playing the Sabres?
You find it in the third period, honestly. The entire season, like they've had issues holding leads. And for a part of the year is because they just wore down. Like they just got tired in the third period because the style of forecheck that they play now is much more active and much more and works much further up the ice, which is good. Like I like that a lot, but it's a big change because, you know, because these guys have, you know, the guys that have been around for a year or two have been playing, you know, a more, not like a trap style, but like either like one forechecker coming at you and then everybody else kind of waiting through the neutral zone. Whereas this is like they're sending two guys out to attack and trying to make you turn it over earlier up in the ice. And that, you know, that skating that much more, it's like doing, you know, like when they do Herbies, you know, the back and forth skating and how much that sucks. But like, that's more of what they're doing. Like the endurance levels have to get a little bit better, but you know, it's a COVID year. It's another COVID year. And like your endurance levels might be wildly different than they ever were before. They might not be back to normal now. So like, it's tough. I mean, it's not like these guys are slobs and out of shape. Like they are not, but that kind of change has made it a little tougher earlier in the year. Now it's mistakes. Every mistake that they make ends up in the back of the net, which is, that's frustrating for different reasons. That, you know, part of that can be on the goaltending, but it also highlights the mistakes that are made a little bit more. So that shifts the spotlight. So if you got a young guy who makes a mistake, then it's just kind of like, oh, all right, fine. But like, you know, like you see Cody Eakin take one of the laziest slashing penalties I've ever seen, and that leads to a power play goal. Then you're just kind of like, all right, man, I can forgive it from these guys, but from you, absolutely not. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff. Like if the game's close going into the third, or hell, even if you're down by two goals, if you pop one on them to cut into that lead, Sabres get tight and they start to not overthink, but they just start getting antsy with the puck. They start, you know, if they try to go full defend lead, then that doesn't really work. If they try to keep playing normal, sometimes, you know, holes will open up sometimes, but they're, you know, because they're young, they're just kind of mentally, I don't want to say fragile, but like they're just a little bit, they haven't learned how to put games away yet. And, you know, I think to a degree, Granato hasn't, totally put full faith into a lot of the young guys to throw them out there. But there are some guys that he's very trusting of. Like Matthias Samuelsson was in there helping to close out the Nashville game. I think it was the Nashville game. But like he was being used in those, you know, those late minutes, you know, let's hold the lead kind of things. And I mean, that's tremendously flattering for a guy who just got recalled, you know, a week ago. So I mean, there's some of those guys that do it, but like, you know, if they're pressing for a goal or something like that, he tends to lean into the veterans. Like, you know, you'll see a Pozo out there sometimes, which, you know, I don't have an issue with because he's played great this year. He's hurt again, but because, you know, everybody's a hurt on the team. But, you know, you'd see Gergensen's out there sometimes late in games, and you're just kind of like, well, what's that about? You know, where, I mean, you know, no knock on Zemgus, but, like, if I need a goal late in a game, I don't know he's the first name I'm thinking of on the team. But yeah, they're so young that they haven't learned how to, you know, to totally put away games. Sometimes they can, but they're susceptible to, like, giving up a goal in that third period and getting really shaky.
Mm. Extremely Flyers. I actually really enjoying that right now. The amount of similarity between the Sabres and the Flyers is much greater than difference.
I don't know if I'm taking solace in that from a Flyers fan.
Oh no, you shouldn't. It's bad.
It's like, hey, it's okay. The Sabres are doing the same thing. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great. Yeah, but I guess, I don't think there's anything else that we need to talk about regarding this hockey game. What's your prediction for the final score?
Pain wins over agony, I think.
Okay.
That can be, determine that however you want.
I was just gonna ask you which one was worse. In my mind, agony is worse than pain.
Mm.
Agony feels more sustained.
Yes. Yeah. Pain is immediate and recognized. Agony is like, yeah, I've had this pain and I've had it for X number of days, months, years, weeks, centuries. You know, like, that's agony is definitely way worse, because it's like, just at some point you're just screaming, just end it, please, just enough already, just end the season, God, like, fire everybody, trade everybody, I don't care, I need something different.
yeah that's the I think the prevailing state of being in Philadelphia as far as Flyers fans go. I'm gonna guess that the Flyers lose this game, because I'm leaning in, and since they've already lost 10, let's make it 11. Why not? So I'm going to say 3-1 Sabres.
3-1. Wow. I think if the Sabres do win, it's going to be more like 5-4, 4-3.
Okay.
Because I don't have faith in Buffalo goaltending, and I can't have faith in Philly goaltending at the moment.
Literally the only thing going right.
It is? The Flyers goaltending is the only thing going right?
Yeah, it's another thing about this season that's extra hilarious, in that Carter Hart was the worst thing about last season, and we spent a lot of time telling ourselves, as long as Carter Hart gets back to being Carter Hart, like, we're good. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. Carter Hart is 100% back to being Carter Hart, and the entire team in front of him has fallen apart. So, yeah, the goaltending for the Flyers is actually good, but Carter is starting to show signs, I think, of the inevitable, you know, emotional breakdown that comes with your entire team being garbage and not being able to buy a win. Mm-hmm. So he might start to, just kind of based on last season when he kind of went south mentally, he might start to go south a bit, because he's been destroyed on the inside by the hockey.
The poor boy.
I know. We're just destroying. The Flyers are destroying a lot of lives right now, which is kind of rude of them, I think. But
I'm having a thought now. Uh-oh. Because the last time, well, I don't know. I think I saw Hart there last year during one of the 9,000 games the Flyers and Sabres played against each other. But but Buffalo is where Hart won the gold medal in the World Juniors. So that guys that tend to come back to Buffalo that had really great moments there in World Juniors tend to play really well. So as long as Hart is the starter,
okay.
I'm going to lean. I think Philly could break it, because it just puts guys in, like, the right frame of mind. Like, Evgeny Kuznetsov was part of the Russian team that won here in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, like, he was, like, that Russian team was nuts, but, like, they came back from a huge deficit against Canada in the gold medal game and, like, very hilariously beat Canada in that game, because they couldn't stop anybody. Like, they, like, it was like Panarin and Kuznetsov, like just a ridiculous team full of yeah. Russian guys. And like they just had the monster third period and like, you know, ran, you know, one going away in the gold medal game. And every time Kuznetsov comes back to Buffalo, he like he'll get like a, you know, goal and assist, two goals, like whatever it is. And after the game, we're just like, you know, what is it about playing here? He's like, oh man, I love playing here. It's so good to play here. It's like, you know, I won gold medal here. Like, this is great. This is like the best place for me to play. And I'm like, oh, you're the one guy who likes this place. That's cool. That's nice for you. So like, I don't know if Carter feels the same way about Buffalo. I mean, I'm sure he has nothing but, you know, good memories being there. But from what I've seen, guys that have had those really good high moments, you know, at least the junior guys, they come back and they have a really solid game when they play in Buffalo. Okay. Yeah. So maybe there's a glimmer of hope for the Flyers. I don't know.
Maybe. Is winning hope, though? You've experienced this in Buffalo. Like, there gets to be a point where the winning is counterproductive. And only halfway through the season, the Flyers have reached that point because the playoffs are out of the question. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a person that found myself capable of rooting for the team to lose, like even the terrible years. I'm like, no, I want them to win. Like, this is supposed to be fun for me. I like this. But I too have been destroyed on the inside by the hockey. So I kind of at this point, I'm like there's no point to you winning games. Be bad and maybe get a good draft pick.
I think when it comes to that, I subscribe to the theory that Red in Shawshank Redemption had, mm-hmm. where, okay. you know, hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can kill a man. And winning creates hope. And I mean, I guess in situations like Buffalo and Philly, it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I know Philly still hangs on to that idea that maybe playoffs could happen, even though the East playoff race already seems set. Yeah. But in Buffalo, winning creates a lot of hope because it's like, all right, maybe they're figuring this thing out. Maybe they're going to get, you know, maybe the kids are all right. You know, things are going to get better here, you know, next year, the year after. But fans here have been sold that idea every year for the last 10 years that like, right. okay, you know, and it all, you know, it started with Darcy Regier after they traded Pominville back in 2013. When he said, you know, like that was the idea then that they were going to start doing a rebuild. And he said very famously, there's going to be some suffering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when you're in a position of power with a hockey team, don't ever say things like that because they will come back to haunt you and the franchise for a long time because.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and there's been so many of those kinds of phrases uttered in Buffalo where it's just kind of like, yeah, good one. You look back on it now, it's like, yeah, no kidding. Really? Oh, wow. You know, like Ted Black calling Buffalo hockey heaven. Like, yeah, okay. This is what heaven's like. What's hell like? You know, come on. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's things like that where it's, you know, it's so easy to be hyperactively cynical in Buffalo. I'm prouder of the fans that have taken to voicing themselves through Gallows humor though. Like to me, that's my favorite part of Leafs Twitter is the Gallows humor. Like it's now that the Leafs are kind of, you know, the Leafs are good now. So it's a little, there's more arrogance thrown in there. You know, cause they do have like a top five player and blah, 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 you know, like whatever. But like the Gallows humor from Leafs fans is like, beautiful. Flyers fans have great Gallows humor. And to me, if you can find ways to have fun with horror seasons, yeah. like you're a damn good fan and you're way more patient than everybody else.
You make a good point. I'll try to find some humor in this nonsense.
You're gonna go crazy if you don't.
I know.
Like, if you keep thinking like they're gonna turn it around, like
they're not. It's just it's a bit different for me than you because you're like a professional sports writer, and yeah. I'm just a Flyers fan that for some reason has a podcast. so like for me, I I want them to win a lot of hockey games and I want to have fun. And it's just hasn't been for a long time. And I think there's been a lot of like deluding ourselves into thinking that fun was just around the corner. So like, you know, this mediocrity isn't so bad because like any day now they're going to be good. And it just never happened. But yeah, you're right. It's supposed to be fun. You can find fun in misery. It can be there.
If I think if you just keep dwelling in misery with sports, it's just,
there's no point in it.
It eats you alive. I mean, I outwardly portray a lot of angst about the Detroit Lions because they're my horrible, awful favorite football team. But like the same point, I just, you know, the outward show of me being just like thoroughly disgusted is only, it's my way of getting out of the system, honestly, because if I took any of my teams so seriously that it affected my emotions day to day, I need help. Like that for me, like I would need help because my competitive side gets up like that and I just get way too pissy, angsty, shitty about it. Like it's just everything about it, I'm just like, drives me nuts. And I hate feeling like I'm getting out of control with that. And like that's can't. So like with the Lions, like I can't live week to week with them because it's just losing, losing, losing. They suck. The jokes, everything. It's just like, whatever. Call me when you figure it out. I'll be watching out of the corner of my eye.
That is excellent advice for Flyers fans because there are quite a lot of people that are still tying way too much of their personal enjoyment of life to the hockey team. And you have to decouple that or you're going to go completely insane because I think it's going to be bad for a little while. Joe, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me, if you want to find my immediate terrifying thoughts, you can go to find me on Twitter at Joe Yerdon, at JOEYERDON. I have a weekly podcast, Sabres podcast, so you can soak in other people's misery on occasion. It's called Maintenance Day. I do that with Lance Lisowski from the Buffalo News. And I also write occasionally for Dive by the Blade and even less occasionally on my own Substack called Noted Hockey. So I got a lot of stuff going on.
Noted Hockey is very good. I would suggest people search that out. It's a fun little, it's like a thought download from like someone who understands hockey well. And it's like a nice, easy little read once or twice a week.
Or, you know, month, however often it works out to be.
I mean, that's kind of what's cool about Substack though, is that you just, when you feel like it, plop something on there and it just gets delivered to people's inboxes, which is lovely.
Yeah. And if I was asking people for money for it, I would feel way more guilty about not really updating it as often as I do. Cause then I'd be like, oh crap, you're giving me money. Now I gotta actually do stuff. Crap.
Yeah. The worst.
Get paid for goods and services.
Terrible. Thanks a lot, capitalism. Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for doing this extremely weird and angsty pregame with me. It's very enjoyable. Everyone, check out Joe's work. Check out his Twitter. Hope you enjoy the game. Go Flyers.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
They call it running a business for a reason. Because your day can get away from you fast. It takes a lot of work to make it all work. But with Clover, doing business feels like a walk in the park. Take appointments, do inventory, manage staff. With the right business tools, everything moves in sync and nothing can slow you down. Clover, accept payments, run your business, and sell more. For a limited time only, visit clover.com/Pandora and get a $450 statement credit on qualified hardware purchases. That's www.clover.com/Pandora.
It's 2023 and you're still looking for a baseball podcast? What's up, party people? Danny Vietti here from the Wake and Rake podcast. Yes, I know the name of our show, Freaking Rocks. Join World Series champion Will Middlebrooks and I as we banter about the best of the best from Major League Baseball, including power rankings.
One of the best players of all time.
Headlines.
Solidifies a dynasty.
And special guests.
Rhys Hoskins.
Throw show.
Jose Trevino.
Listen and or watch every episode of the Wake and Rake podcast, available on all your favorite listening platforms and the all-new Bleav Sports Channel.